We want to welcome everybody on the call tonight. My name is Tim Thain. I'm the founder of Homeward Bound, and just really excited to be on the call with you tonight and kick off our first expert call for our Legacy Parent members. And we're really thrilled to be able to do this. This is we've got a special guest tonight. I'm going to introduce him in a second. But Lee, the purpose of this Parent Legacy Membership Program that we have is to give those parents who we've worked with personally and kind of gone into their homes and worked with their family a chance to continue to think about their family, to learn and grow and stay focused on the principles that we worked with them on. So it's a group of families that are really serious about continuing the progress that they've made. So everyone, I want to introduce you to Lee Caldwell, a great friend of mine. I picked Lee because he is such a great friend and also someone with great knowledge and information and is so willing to share this with anybody. I wish you all could meet him in person. But Lee, thank you so much for coming on the phone tonight and on the call. If you don't mind, I'm going to tell a personal story to kick it off. You remember when you and I went up to Montana and you helped me go to an auction and pick out a horse?
I remember that.
Well, what we have, everyone, is Lee is not only a great therapist and he's a program owner of Turnabout Stillwater Academy, but he also is an avid horse trainer. He loves horses and is great with horses. He's his family, he rodeos with his kids, and they've just got a very unique, wonderful kind of family life. But he's integrated his knowledge of horses and horse training really into his treatment program. And so they use horses a lot, and I've been out there when they've had parents come in for the workshop, and it's always fun to watch you, Lee, out there with your microphone on, but you're able to do all this while being kind of wired and telling everybody what you're up to. But the story I want to share to kind of kick it off is when we went up to Montana, up to the horse auction up there at Billings, Montana, you had a lot of fun to be with, but you're giving me some great advice. You said, Tim, let's make sure we go around, we're going to walk around and look at all the pens, see the horses in the pens, and see if there's any that kind of stand out to you. We had a little magazine that told us about the horses. And you gave me one piece of advice. Do you remember what you said that I went against? I don't know if you remember this.
No, I don't remember.
You said, make sure you see the horse in the pen back here. Don't just buy one. Don't get caught up in the heat of the moment of the bidding process and buy one that you haven't seen out here, because sometimes people bring the horses and they can give them a drug to kind of, calm them down and everything. When they come out in the ring for the sale, they look, really calm and docile. Well, that's exactly what I ended up doing. I was worried that, these kid horses that were coming through, I wasn't able to get one, and I felt like we were getting close to the end. And then this horse came in with a rider, a little paint horse, and he just looked all calm and his head kind of down, and he just looked like he'd be perfect for my son that, was just kind of learning how to ride. And I bid on him and I bought him, and you remember you guys brought him back, and we were standing there in your yard that night when we opened the door, and out came this horse, his head up, prancing out of there. And I'm thinking, that is not the horse I bought. It turned out to be a great thing in the end, because he's kind of a knothead, and it ended up teaching my son an awful lot about leadership. But it was not the horse I thought I bought. So, everyone, I just want to make sure that make sure you listen to Lee tonight. What he's going to share with you will probably be, great advice that you ought to apply better than what I did up there at the sale barn. So with that, Lee, I really want you to share some of your basic ideas about how working with horses is a great way to reach teens and teach their parents about parenting methods. Can you share some thoughts and insights about that?
Oh, I'd love to. I'm a cowboy at heart, and I really love horses, and I love horses because if you take the time to be around horses a little bit, it really becomes clear that they are truly a mirror to the way we feel, and they mirror our personality, mm-hmm. and our temperament, and they honestly tell us exactly where we stand as we try to communicate with them. And the great thing with the kids and the horses is, you know, kids that come to us in a treatment setting like this, they usually do not have an honest relationship in their life. Even the relationship they have with themselves, it has so much dishonesty, as they lie to themselves about the things that they're doing, but they get with a horse, and horses are just inherently honest.
Mm-hmm.
And they try the old manipulation tactics that they use on their parents or teachers or therapists to manipulate the horse into doing the things that they want it to do, and they find out immediately that's not how a horse works. You know, a horse
right.
is honest, and a horse really sees right into your soul, and it sees what your motivations are, and it knows whether it's safe around you or not safe around you immediately. And so for one of these kids to get a relationship with a horse, they have to start being honest.
Mm.
And that is a new experience for them. And it's scary for most of the kids. But once they figure out that there is a payoff for that relationship with the horse, that something good happens when they're honest with the horse, they maybe start to learn that they can risk to do that with their parents again and their therapist and their teacher, and that they figure out the relationships do pay off and that we need them. You know, horses, they want to be social.
Mm.
They want attachment. They want
mm-hmm.
to be with people, with other horses, and kids want the same thing.
Right.
And they just, in a lot of ways, they sabotage the relationships that they have, but it doesn't mean they don't want to have relationships. They just have an unhealthy way of trying to meet that need. And so horses, they are so good in so many ways. I could go on all night about how great the horses are. But that's that's a couple of ways.
By the way, Lee, I wore my boots tonight.
Oh, good.
In honor of our conversation.
I hope they're clean.
Yeah, they're the boots you talked me into buying at
the
National Finals Rodeo there.
Good.
But, Lee, another thing I'd like you to share is maybe your reflections on horse training and the things that are similar in terms of training that parents can learn from as they work with and you know, parent their kids. Because I've seen you do it in the round pen, and you've demonstrated this. But how do you describe that to somebody who isn't there watching you?
Well, there's a lot of really powerful parallels with when you start to train a horse, and I think that the first thing is that you have to approach the horse with just a warm personal regard.
Mm-hmm.
You have to see the horse as with I don't know for a better word, with some kindness in your heart. And I think that you try to teach the horse certain things, but you do it by building a foundation of trust and consistency and predictability, the same things that we have to do when we're parenting our kids. And our kids need to feel safe, and they need to be able to predict our responses as parents. They need to have rules and boundaries and know that we are going to be consistent in enforcing the rules and boundaries.
Yeah.
And that we're going to do that with in a positive and nurturing way. You know, we get so often caught up in enforcing our will upon kids to get them to do what we want.
Mm-hmm.
And people have tried to do that with horses for years and years, but as they did it with horses, that, you know, the horse, you can sometimes make a horse do what you want it to do, but the horse is always afraid of you, and in a position where there's some pressure involved, the horse is worried about your correction or you're hurting it to make it comply instead of worrying about doing the task at hand. And that
mm-hmm.
creates an unsafe and unpredictable situation where people and horses get hurt.
And that's very similar in family life, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the parallel is very profound that, you know, our kids, they want those same things. They want to be safe, secure, and it has to be predictable. And you know, we have to be careful of those times when we lose our temper, the situation is emotionally charged, and not get into the yelling and the forcing and those types of things that that create an unsafe situation, an uncertain situation for the kids. And I think those things, as we start to work with the horse and we consistently apply these correct principles, the horse, it pretty soon it learns to trust us,
mm-hmm.
and it wants to be with us. You know, the horse, initially the horse is kind of scared of us and at the least wary of us. But if we do the right things, pretty soon that horse, it wants to be by us. It feels more secure by us than away from us.
And there's no way you could do that if you didn't have a sense, if the horse didn't have a sense that this whatever it is in this corral with me is not going to hurt me.
Right.
And there's kind of a sense of kindness, like you said.
Yeah.
That's really powerful because, you know, in the principles that we teach the families is it talks, you know, one of the first principles we teach, the first one is that the relationship that we establish there with our teenagers is the priority. It's the first step, first thing that's got to be thought of. So
Yeah. You
just mentioned that in terms of the training. You know, there's a guy that's fairly famous, and his name's Monty Roberts. He's, I don't know if he's the original horse whisperer, but someone that observed a lot of wild horses and kind of learned what he calls equus, sort of the language of the horse. And he has this concept that you're talking about in a different way, same way you're talking about it, but he calls it join up, right?
Yes, yes. Yeah, I'm familiar with Monty, and we've
mm-hmm.
supplied Monty horses when he did his training demonstrations in Utah.
Oh, did you? Neat.
Yeah.
So the join up process. And the other day I was actually working with a family, and it really, those concepts really came in handy because I kept thinking, and I think this is going to be great for parents to think about this, that, you know, they've got to learn to kind of approach their children in a way that doesn't repel them away, but invites them in all
yeah.
the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that relationship is foundational to all of that. In the end, you know, after treatment and after being in a more restrictive environment where there's a lot of structure and that, you know, the kids generally do very well. But when the rubber meets the road at home, in the end, it is relationships and those important principles that you learned that invite the kids to maintain their sobriety and keep moving
mm-hmm.
in a positive direction and give them the feeling of safety they need to come to you when there's problems and be a part of the family and all those things. So yeah, I think that is really foundational, that relationship part.
Well, Lee, there might be some parents out there that are saying, okay, I understand the relationship, how important that is, and that makes a lot of sense to me. How do you balance that with the sort of boundaries, and if you could explain this in terms of horse training and parenting, how horses also, you know, need to understand where boundaries are, et cetera. But how do you do that and maintain the relationship at the same time?
I think that's a really good question. You know, with horses and with kids, especially this is important during developmental times with kids. You know, so many of the kids we work with had some type of developmental disruption or trauma or problems in their lives. But security is so important. And so security for horses, to feel secure, there has to be boundaries and expectations and rules. And in a herd of horses, a wild herd of horses, there is a very strict set of rules that the horses live by. And those rules help keep a herd of horses safe. You know, those rules about who's watching out for predators, who is looking for food and water, and who's teaching the young horses the rules, and what happens if a young horse gets in an older horse's space. And they have a really perfect behavior modification system in a herd of horses, and they have really well-defined boundaries. The horses know the expectations, and then the older horses enforce and have consequences for those rules. And they're understood and
they're consistent, aren't they?
And they're very, very consistent. And I would say that they're unemotionally applied, you know. And so all the horses know where they stand in the herd of horses. And kids want leadership the same way. You know, kids, they want structure, and they want safety. Oh, safety only comes with structure. If we feel unsafe if there's no boundaries, or if the boundaries change from day to day, the rules change, or the administration of rules or enforcement of rules, that makes things unsafe. And so,
you know what, that really reminds me of the image of a newborn baby, and kind of wrapping that child up in a blanket. And, you know, they might be flailing their arms, and you kind of wrap them up a little bit tighter, kind of around them. They just kind of calm down.
Yeah.
You know, that structure around them, that that containment, gives them a sense of calm a lot of times. And I thought that's a really interesting parallel to the newborn. You know, horses need it. Teenagers do too. They won't tell you that. You know, they're not going to say, you know, give me boundaries, right? Have you seen too many kids do that? But
no.
You see the results once they get them, right?
Right. They thrive. They thrive with the boundaries and knowing how to predict what's going to happen in their world. And even, you know, that example with the newborn baby is a great example, because that newborn needs to be held and nurtured, and it feels safe. And then as a toddler, it wants to explore and go out, but it always wants to come back and know that it can come back for safety and security of its parent. And you know, teenagers, they kind of re-go through that developmental time during their teenage years, and they want to have that same security of boundaries and knowing that, you know, relationship is built on boundaries and being able to know what they can count on from another person.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, sorry, Lee, go ahead.
Well, I was just say, if there's no boundaries and they can't count on what's going to happen with the other person, then there's really no relationship.
Oh, good point. Good point. I was just speaking with a parent tonight, as a matter of fact, that whose child just came back from a treatment program, and you know, I was there in their home, kind of helping put together the what we call the family rules and consequences. And they were very uncertain about setting any boundaries, because the young woman had pretty much flipped the hierarchy before she went to treatment and had to kind of run the home. And so they were really tentative about establishing expectations and these boundaries. And fortunately, I was there with them trying to, you know, to help them do the first parts of this. And the mother just on the phone tonight, it was so fun to hear. She says, "Tim, she's getting with the program."
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Really, tell me about that." She said, "Well, you know, we normally have, we've had this conflict over her going out and who she's going to be with and having to report to me all of this. And tonight she just said, you know, when I brought it up, she just said, okay, and let go and reported what she was going to be doing. And she was just stunned. And I said, why do you think she's able to do that? She said, you know, because we have been really consistent. This happens to be a mother that's divorced from, you know, her child's father. And the two of them have come together around this transition like very few families I've ever seen. And I think that's the other piece. The consistency is happening because they're supporting each other in this. You know, you recently spoke to a large group of women at a conference on appropriate correction of our children. And this goes along with that question I was asking you about, you know, that relationship that you need to constantly keep in mind and nurture, while at the same time the need for appropriate correction. Can you tell us a little bit about what you shared with those women and if it relates to horse training, you could share that too.
Well, you know, the idea of correction, we should really look at correction as a great opportunity to build relationship and to build trust and build safety. We look at it as a negative so often, but it's not negative. We need to make correction and correcting our children a positive experience. And you'd say, well, that's crazy. How can we do that? Because usually it has to do with the negative behavior. But really, it's the child that, you know, the child has got some is asking for some help with some problem, and they're testing the parent as much as they are expressing their own emotional issue in this inappropriate behavior.
So, are you saying, Lee, that they're acting out might be them asking for help?
Well, I think that in ways it is, yes, and it at times can be more complicated than that, but I think that yes, it is definitely saying there is something going wrong with me, and I definitely need some attention and some help with some issue, and so it gives us as parents an opportunity to help. And if we will do that in a positive way, we reinforce that we're there for them, that there's boundaries, that we support them in their in taking care of themselves and appropriate behavior, and that we love them unconditionally, but that we would ask them to behave in a more appropriate way, and we're going to help them figure out whatever the problem is and support them through it. And I think so often in correction situations, we end up doing it when we're hurt as parents, hurt or angry, and maybe hurt and then angry. And and so it becomes a negative experience. But it doesn't have to be. It's an important part of the process. And it's not bad that we have to be involved in correction. We just have to put it in proper perspective and try to make it a positive experience.
Well, this might be one of the best points that we could ever make or that we could hear from you tonight, is that that's not only what we should do, but it's very possible to do, to correct without – what do you say for – you know, so what do you say for the parent that's been through the trauma of their teen's behavior, you know, for a long time, maybe gotten hurt, you know, really felt emotionally scarred by the situation, and they would like to do this, what you're talking about, they'd like to correct, you know, in love. Any ideas of how they can kind of get past that hurt and that, you know, that history, so that they can approach this in a better way?
Well, it's easier said than done. I mean, I would just say to start with that I recognize how difficult of a situation that is in a lot of cases. But I think that the first step of that is recognizing what is the parents' own stuff and what's the kids' own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to, as parents, we have to be really conscious of what is our own feelings of inadequacy, our feelings that we may be bad parents or our kids don't love us or we want them to love us so much that we've compromised or whatever goes into that, that from our past, that we are really aware of what's our part.
Mm-hmm.
And it's impossible to have a great experience with correction when our own issues get in the way of our parenting.
Yes.
And so we've got to do our own work. And when I say our own, I have 7 kids, and I struggle with this as much as anybody else. They teach me so much about what I have to do for myself.
Right.
And so I think that that's the first thing, is they've really got to be conscious of their own issues and where their heart's at.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think that there sometimes needs to be a little bit of time, that if things are out of control and our emotions are out of control, there's not much listening and much teaching that can happen.
Right.
And we need to we just need to try to keep things safe and take a breath and make sure where our own hearts are, and then talk about the things that we need to with our kids. And that would be
so we've got to be in a good emotional place for sure.
Yes. Because so much of our hurt has to do with our own feelings in situations with our kids.
Yeah, we take it personal, don't we?
We do, and it's so hard not to. We love them, we want to do the right things, and they reflect, you know, our kids are such a reflection of us in so many ways, and it we have this deep connection with our kids. That it's so hard to separate when something bad happens either to them or that they do something that is hurtful to us.
That's right. And you mentioned that, you know, I'm thinking about a time I was watching you in the round pen. You had parents out there in the round pen with you with a young horse that you were asking them to do things, to get this horse to do things that it needed to do. And do you see, Lee, do you see this, these individual kind of, maybe the our parenting come out in the way we would herd a horse around and how we'd work with a horse? And do you see the parallels between that and the way they were with their children, their adolescents?
Oh, no question. And it really makes sense if you think that when we're in a situation where we're trying to get the horse to perform in a certain way, we use the same tactics to get the horse to so-called behave that we use to get our kids to behave.
Right.
So we may become impatient, controlling, try to make things happen instead of really considering the horse's position and considering how do we really communicate with that horse and help the horse to understand where we're trying to go together. And
yeah.
We do the same things with our kids. But we really regress to who we are inside when we start. And I think we do that with our kids when we start to feel out of control. When things start to feel out of control with our kids and things are happening that we don't know how to fix, we try harder and harder to control the situation.
And our emotions are carrying us away at the same time. Right?
Yes, absolutely. And it becomes such a combustible combination.
So we need to be thinking, I can't remember, I wish I could remember the quote of this, but it was in the American Quarter Horse Association. It was a quote about horse training, about that our patience and our knowledge and understanding run out about the same time. So when we're starting to feel impatient and upset and starting to maybe grip it a little too tight and start to control things or try to control things, maybe it's because we've just kind of we're now in uncharted ground. We don't. Our knowledge is we need more. We need more knowledge. We need more self-knowledge, probably.
Yes, and I think we lose our ability to access the knowledge we have because we become reactionary and emotional. And and then it's time we get a little help and take a deep breath and step back just a little bit. And, you know, I like the saying about letting calmer minds prevail.
Mm. You know, that's honestly, it's so simple, but so hard to do. But if parents could do just that one thing, if they took away just that one idea tonight, that they'd never approach correction of their child in anger, and that they're going to get themselves in a better place before they do that, they're going to automatically have better results.
Yeah.
Just that alone.
Yeah.
Well, that is just fantastic. Well, I wonder, Lee, if you could share just a little bit more about the advice you could give parents for maintaining the momentum. You know, our parents have their kids have been in treatment programs and they're at different stages of the transition process. If you could give them some of your best advice for maintaining momentum and the focus that they made and the progress they made in treatment, you know, after they come home, what would you say?
Well, I would say don't stop doing the things that got you to this place. And I don't know why we as people seem to feel like that if we go on a diet when we reach our perfect weight, then we should go off the diet. Or if we have high cholesterol, we take cholesterol medication and we get it low and then we quit taking it.
Right.
You know, or something like that, because the things, the important principles and things you did to get to this place are the things that you need to keep doing and learning more about to keep this great experience going in the right direction. And when we don't maintain it and we don't keep in contact with people that help us and keep working, then we forget to do those important things.
Mm.
And things... Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, what great, great point. Just great wisdom. You know, I'm just so grateful that you're willing to spend some time with us tonight, Lee, and share these ideas with the families. You know, these families that are on the call tonight are the families that, have made a lot of progress, but feel like there's more to do. And I'm glad you're giving that encouragement. It's kind of a continuing education, you know, constantly applying the same principles that got us here that works.
Yeah.
And they don't wear out. I mean, these principles are they don't have a shelf life.
Yeah.
I guess is what you're saying.
So
too.
True. So true. And you know that most of the great things, the secrets to happiness in our lives are not that complicated, and they're really not secrets, but it just takes going a step each day. And what's the old proverb? A journey of 1,000 miles starts with one step.
Uh-huh.
And they are well on that journey, and so I just think if everybody will just keep doing it, they're going to keep getting these same great results that they've gotten.
Yeah, thank you so much, Lee, for that encouragement, and I just want to thank you tonight for just some great advice, and I particularly love the horse connection. So I'm hoping that our parents out there also, connect with that, and I'm sure that they got a lot from this. So we just really want to thank you tonight, and also want to thank all the parents out there tonight who joined us on the call, and we'll look forward to next month as well. In the meantime, all the best to you families. You know, keep up the good work. And again, thank you, Lee, for being on the call tonight.
Oh, you're welcome. And good luck to all of you out there. Keep working and keep doing what you're doing. And it's nice to have visited with you.
Thanks so much, Lee.
Okay,
take
good night,
care.
Tim.
Good night.